looks at me. "Or I can sadly inform them that you died in the crash. Which would you prefer?"
"I'm not going with you," she says. "You're a liar and a murderer."
He cuts her off.
"David, you'll remain guard over Todd while I take Viola to her ship."
He looks back at her. "I think you know firsthand my son's eagerness with a gun if you don't cooperate." Viola looks furiously at Davy. I look at Davy, too, standing there, rifle in hand, looking back and forth twixt me and his pa, his noise roiling, his noise saying clearly there ain't no way he's ever gonna shoot me.
"Pa," he says.
"Enough of this, David." The mayor frowns, trying to catch Davy's eye, and catching it. "You will do what I say," he says to his son. "You will tie Todd up with the rope he so helpfully brought, and you will stand guard over him, and when I return with our newly arrived guests, everything will be peaceful and happy. The new world will begin."
"New world," Davy mumbles, his eyes glazing over, just like the ginger-haired soldier, askings and doubt being pushed out of his noise, as he bends to the will of another.
I get an idea. "Forgive me, Davy."
"You gonna let him talk to you like that, Davy?"
He blinks.
"What?"
He looks away from his pa.
"You gonna let him point a gun at me and Viola?"
"Todd," the mayor warns.
"All that noise you say you hear,"
I say to the mayor, but I still look at Davy, still hold his eye.
"All the way you say you know everything, but you don't know your own son very well now, do you?"
"David," the mayor says, but I got Davy's eye now.
"You gonna let him get his way again?" I say to him. "You gonna let him boss you around with no reward?"
Davy watches me nervously, trying to blink away the mess his pa's put into his head.
"That ship changes everything, Davy," I say. "A whole new batch of people. A whole city's worth to try and make this place something better than the stinking toilet it is."
"David," the mayor says.
There's a flash of noise, and Davy flinches.
"Stop it, pa," he says.
"Who do you want to get to that ship first, Davy?" I say. "Me and Viola to get some help, or your pa so he can rule them, too?"
"Be quiet," says the mayor.
"Are you forgetting who has the gun?"
"Davy has one, too," I say. There's a bit of a pause as we all see Davy remember he's holding a rifle. There's another flash of noise from the mayor and another flinch from Davy.
"Jesus, pa! Effin' quit it already!"
But he looks at his pa to say it, and his pa catches his eyes again.
"Tie Todd up and get my horse, David," the mayor says, holding his stare.
"Pa?"
Davy says, his voice gone quiet.
"My horse," says the mayor. "He's out back."
"Get between them," Viola hisses at me. "Break the eye contact."
I move, but the mayor turns the gun on her without taking his eyes off Davy.
"One move, Todd."
I stop.
"Bring me my horse, son," says the mayor, "and we'll greet the new settlers side by side."
He smiles at his son.
"You'll be my prince."
"He said that before," I say to Davy,
"but not to you."
"He's controlling you," Viola shouts. "He's using his noise to—"
"Please tell Viola to be quiet," the mayor says.
"Be quiet, Viola," Davy says, his voice soft, his eyes not blinking.
"Davy!"
I shout.
"He's just trying to control you, David," the mayor says, his voice rising. "Like he's done from the start."
"What?"
I say.
"From the start," Davy mumbles.
"Who do you think's held you back from promotion, son?"
The mayor's saying it, and he's saying it right into the middle of Davy's brain.
"Who do you think tells me all the things you do wrong?"
"Todd?"
Davy says weakly.
"He's lying," I say. "Look at me!"
But Davy's overloading. He's just staring, frozen at his pa, not moving at all. The mayor gives a heavy sigh.
"I see I have to do this myself."
He comes forward,
gesturing us back with his rifle. He grabs Viola and lifts her to her feet. She cries out from the pain in her ankles. I move automatically to help, but he pushes her forward so she's right in front of him, his rifle at her back. I open my mouth to shout, to threaten, to damn him, but it's Davy who speaks first.
"It's landing," he says quietly.
We all turn eastward. The ship is taking a slow circle, flying around a hilltop east of town. Maybe even the one where the tower once stood. It comes round again and hovers above the treetops, before slowly starting to lower itself out of sight. I turn to Davy, too, see his eyes fogged and confused. But he ain't looking at his paw no more. He's looking at the ship. And then he's turning his head and looking at me.
"Todd?"
he says, like he's just waking up. And his rifle is just there, just hanging from his hand. And one more time, "Forgive me." I lunge forward and snatch it from him. He don't even put up any resistance, just lets it go. Lets it go right into my fingers, and I'm already raising it and cocking it and pointing it at the mayor, who's already smiling, his gun still in Viola's back.
"So it's a standoff, is it?"
he says, grinning from ear to ear. "Let her go," I say. "Please take your gun back from Todd, David," the mayor says, but he has to keep looking at me, watching me with the gun.
"Don't you do no such thing, Davy."
"Stop it," Davy says, his voice thick, his noise rising. I can sense him putting his hands to the sides of his head.
"Can't you both just effing stop it?"
But the mayor's still looking at me, and I'm still looking at the mayor. The sound of the ship landing screams over the city, over the noise of the army marching its way back down the hill, over the distant booms of the answer making its way up the road, over the terrified hidden roar of New Prentice Town all around us, not knowing that their whole future depends on this, right now, right this second, me and the mayor with our rifles.
"Let her go," I say.
"I don't think so, Todd." I hear a rumble of noise coming from him.
"My finger's on this trigger," I say. "You try to hit me with your noise, and you're a dead man."
The mayor smiles. "Fair enough," he says. "But what you need to ask yourself, my dear friend Todd, is if when you decide to finally pull that trigger, can you pull it fast enough so that I don't also pull my own? Will killing me kill your beloved Viola, too?" He lowers his chin.
"Could you live with that?"
"You'd be dead," I say.
"So would she."
"Do it, Todd," Viola says. "Don't let him win." "That ain't happening neither," I say.
"Are you going to let him point a gun at your own father, David?" the mayor asks.
But he's still looking at me. "Times are changing, Davy," I say, eyes still on the mayor. "This is where we all decide how it's going to be, including you."
"Why's it have to be like this?" Davy asks.
"We could all go together. We could all ride up on horseback and..."
"No, David," says the mayor. "No, that won't do at all."
"Put the gun down," I say. "Put it down and end this." The mayor's eyes flash, and I know what's coming.
"You stop that," I say, blinking furiously and looking over his shoulder.
"You cannot win this,"
the mayor says, and I hear his voice twice over, three times, a legion of him inside my head.
"You cannot shoot me and guarantee her life, Todd. We all know you'd never risk that."
He takes a step forward, pushing Viola along. She calls out at the pain in her ankles, but I find myself taking a step back.
"Don't look in his eyes," she says.
"I'm trying," I say, but even the sound of his voice is getting inside me.
"This isn't a loss, Todd,"
the mayor is saying, so loud in my head it feels like my brain's vibrating.
"I wish for your death no more than I wish for my own. Everything I said earlier was true. I want you by my side. I want you as part of the future we're going to create here with whoever steps out of that ship."
"Shut up," I say.
But he's still stepping forward. I'm still stepping back, till I'm behind even Davy.
"I want no harm to come to Viola either," the mayor says. "All along, I promised both of you a future. That promise still stands."
Even without looking right at him, his voice is buzzing in my head, weighing it down, making it seem like it's easier just to...
Don't listen to him!
Viola shouts. He's a liar!
Todd, says the mayor, I think of you as my son. I really do.
And Davy turns to me, his noise rising all hopeful, and he says, Come on, Todd! You hear that? And his noise is reaching for me, too. Eagerness and worry coming forward like fingers and hands, asking me, begging me to put the gun down. Put it down and make everything all right. Make it so all this stops. And he says, We could be brothers. And I cast my eyes to Davy's. And I see myself in them, see myself in his noise, see the mayor as my father, and Davy as my brother, and Viola as our sister. See the hopeful smile rising to Davy's lips. And for the third time, I have to ask, Forgive me. I point the rifle at Davy. Let her go, I say to the mayor, not quite able to look Davy in the face.
Todd?
Davy asks, his forehead furrowing. Just do it, I snap.
Or you'll what, Todd? The mayor teases. You'll shoot him?
Davy's noise is spilling over with more asking marks, with surprise and shock, with a betrayal that's rising.
Answer me, Todd, the mayor says.
Or you'll what?
Todd,
Davy says again, his voice lower this time. I look him briefly in the eyes and look away again.
Or I'll shoot Davy, I say. I'll shoot your son.
Davy's noise is pouring with disappointment. Disappointment so thick it falls off him like mud. I don't even read no anger in his noise, which makes it worse. He ain't even thinking of jumping me or punching me or wrestling the gun away. The only thing in his noise is me holding a gun on him. His only friend holding a gun on him.
I'm sorry,
I whisper. But he don't look like he hears.
I gave you your book,
he says.
I gave you back your book.
You let Viola go,
I shout, looking away from Davy, anger at myself snapping my voice loud.
Or I swear to God!
Go ahead then, the mayor says. Shoot him. Davy looks at the mayor.
Pa?
Never much use as a son anyway, the mayor says, still pushing Viola forward with the rifle. Why do you think I sent him to the front line? I was at least hoping he'd die a hero's death. There's pain on Viola's face still, but it ain't all her ankles. Never mastered his noise, the mayor continues, looking at Davy, whose noise... I can't say what his noise is like. Never followed an order he couldn't get out of. Couldn't capture you, couldn't take care of Viola. Only ever showed improvement because of your influence, Todd.
Pa,
Davy starts, but his pa ignores him. You are the son I want, Todd. Always you. Never this waste of space. And Davy's noise. Oh, Jesus, Davy's noise.
Let her go!
I shout so I don't have to hear it.
I'll shoot him! I'll do it!
You won't, says the mayor, smiling again. Everyone knows you want to kill her, Todd. He pushes Viola forward again. She calls out from the pain of it. Viola, I think. Viola! I grit my teeth and raise the rifle. I cock it, and I say what's true. I would kill to save her, I say. The mayor stops edging forward. He looks twixt me and Davy and back again.
Pa?
Says Davy. His face is twisted and crumpled. The mayor looks back at me, reading my noise.
You would, wouldn't you?
He says, almost under his breath.
You'd kill him. For her.
Davy looks back at me, his eyes wet, but anger rising there too.
Don't, Todd. Don't do it.
Let her go, I say again. Now! The mayor's still looking twixt me and Davy, seeing that I'm serious, seeing that I'd really do it.
Just put the gun down,
I growl, not looking at Davy's eyes, not looking at his noise.
This is over.
The mayor takes in a long breath
and lets it out.
"Very well, Todd," he says.
"As you wish."
He steps away from Viola. My shoulders relax.
And he fires his gun.
42. Endgame. "Todd!" I shout. The sound of the rifle shot blasting past my ear, erasing everything but him. The whole world reduced to not knowing if he's all right or not, if he's been hit, if... But it's not him. He's still holding up his gun, unfired. Standing next to Davy, who falls to his knees, sending up two small clouds of dust as he hits the rubble. "Pa?" he asks, his voice pleading like a little kitten. And then he coughs, spilling blood down his lips. "Davy?" Todd says, his noise rising like he's the one that's been shot. And I see it. A hole high in Davy's chest, in the fabric of his uniform, just below the base of his throat. And Todd runs to him, kneeling down beside him. "Davy!" he shouts. But Davy's noise is staring at his father, asking marks sent everywhere, his expression shocked, his hand reaching up to the wound. He coughs again, and gags. Todd's looking at the mayor, too, his noise railing. "What did you do?" he shouts.
"What did you do?" I shout.
"I removed him from the equation," the mayor says calmly.
"Pa?"
Davy asks again, holding out a bloodied hand toward him. But his pa is only looking at me. "You were always the truer son, Todd," the mayor says. "The one with the potential. The one with the power. The one I'd be proud to have serve by my side."
"Pa?"
Davy's noise says. And he's hearing all of this.
"You effing monster,"
I say.
"I'll kill you."
"You'll join me," the mayor says. "You know you will. It's only a matter of time. David was weak, an embarrassment."
"Shut up!"
I shout.
"Todd?"
I hear. I look down. Davy's looking up at me, his noise swirling, swirling with askings and confusion and fear, and...
"Todd? Todd? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Davy, don't,"
I start to say, but his noise is still swirling, and I see the truth. Here, at the last, he's showing me the truth, the thing he's been hiding from me, about Ben, all in a messy rush. Pictures of Ben racing up the road toward Davy, pictures of Davy's horse rearing, pictures of Davy firing his gun as he falls. Pictures of the bullet hitting Ben in the chest. Pictures of Ben staggering out into the bushes. Davy too scared to go after him. Davy too scared to tell me the truth after I became his only friend.
"I didn't mean it,"
his noise is saying.
"Davy,"
I say.
"I'm sorry,"
he thinks. And that's the truth all over. He is sorry. For everything. For Prentistown, for Viola, for Ben, for every failure and every wrong, for letting his paw down. And he's looking up at me, and he's begging me. He's begging me. Like I'm the only one who can forgive him. Like it's only me who's got the power.
"Todd, please."
And all I can say is, "Davy." And the fright and the terror in his noise is too much. It's too much. And then it stops. Davy slumps, eyes still open, eyes still staring back at me, eyes still asking, I swear, for me to forgive him. And he lies there, still. Davy Prentice is dead.
"You're insane," I say to the mayor behind me.
"No," he says. "You've been right all along, both of you. Never love something so much it can be used to control you."
The sun is down now, but the sky is still pink. The noise of the town still roars. There's another boom in the distance as the answer approaches, and the ship must have landed by now. Its doors must be opening. Someone, Probably Simone Watkin or Bradley Tench, people I know. People who know me. Must be looking out, wondering what sort of place they've landed in. And Todd kneels over the body of Davy Prentice. And then Todd looks up. His noise is boiling and burning, and I can hear the grief in it, and the shame, and the rage. And he gets to his feet, and he raises his rifle. I see myself in his noise. I see the mayor there, too, behind me, rifle pointed, eyes glinting with triumph. And I know exactly what Todd is going to do. "Do it," I say, my stomach dropping, but it's right, and Todd raises the rifle to his eye. "Do it!" And the mayor shoves me hard, sending lightnings of pain up my legs, and I can't help it, and I scream out and fall forward, forward toward Todd, forward toward the ground. And the mayor does it again, uses me to control Todd, because Todd can't help it either. He jumps to catch me when I'm falling, and the mayor attacks.
My brain explodes, burning and raging with everything he fires at it, and it ain't nothing like a slap at all. It's like fiery metal poked right into the center of who I am. And as I jump forward to catch Viola, it hits me so hard, my head snaps back, and here it comes again. The mayor's voice, but somehow my voice, too. Somehow hers as well. And all of them saying, "You're nothing, you're nothing, you're nothing, you're nothing." Our bodies are still moving together, and I feel us tumbling into one another. Feel the top of her skull crack into my mouth. "And you're nothing, you're nothing, you're nothing." She falls into my chest and my fumbling arms, and we twist down onto the rubble together, a siren ripping off the roof of my head. "You're nothing! You're nothing! You're nothing!" And I feel the rifle fall and bounce away, and I feel the weight of her against me, and I hear her as if from the other side of the moons, and she's calling my name, and "You're nothing!" She's saying, "Todd! You're nothing! You're nothing!" She's saying, "Todd!" And it's as if I'm watching her from underwater, and I see her try to rise up on her hands to protect me, but the mayor's above her and swinging his rifle by the barrel and smacking her across the back of the head, and she's falling to one side, and my brain is boiling. My brain is boiling. My brain is boiling. "You're nothing. You're nothing. You're nothing. You're nothing. You're nothing." And I see her eyes as they're closing, and I feel her against me, and I think, "Viola. I think, Viola. I think, Viola." And the mayor steps away from me like he's been stung. "Woo," he says, shaking his head as I blink away the buzz still rocketing from my brain, as my eyes refocus and my thoughts are mine again. "Told you you had some power in you, boy." And his eyes are wide and bright and eager, and he hits me again with his noise. I fling my hands up to my ears, not holding the gun, not holding the gun, as if that'll stop it, but it ain't through your ears that you hear noise, and he's in there. Inside my head, inside myself, invading it like I don't have any self at all. "You're nothing, you're nothing, you're nothing." My own noise swept up and hit against me, like I'm punching myself with my own fists. "You're nothing, you're nothing, you're nothing." "Viola," I think, but I'm disappearing. I'm falling deeper into it. I'm weaker, and my brain is rattling. "Viola."
"Viola," I hear, as if from the bottom of a canyon. My head is aching and bleeding from the mayor's blow, and my face is in the dust, and my eyes are half open, but they aren't seeing anything. "Viola," I hear again. I open my eyes wide. Todd's scooting back into the rocks, his hands over his ears, eyes squeezed shut. And the mayor is standing over him, and I can hear the same shouting as before, the same kind of clanging, laser-bright noise firing right at him, and, "Viola," I hear in among all the clatter. And I open my mouth, and I shout.
"Todd!" I hear screamed from somewhere out there. And it's her. It's her. It's her. And she's alive. And her voice is coming for me. "Viola. Viola. Viola!" I hear a grunt, and the noise in my head stops again. And I open my eyes, and the mayor is staggering back, one hand up to his ear, the same reflex that everyone does. That everyone does when they hear an attack of noise. "Viola," I think again, right at him, but he ducks his head and raises a rifle at me. I think it again. "Viola," and again. "Viola," and he steps back and stumbles over Davy's body, falling backward along it and down into the rubble. I push myself up, and I run to her.
He runs to me, his hands open and reaching for me, taking my shoulders and rolling me up to a sitting position and saying, "Are you hurt? Are you hurt? Are you hurt?" And I'm saying, "He's still got the gun." And Todd turns.
And I turn, and the mayor's getting to his feet, and he's looking at me, and here comes his noise again, and I roll out of the way, and I hear it following me as I scramble over rocks, scramble back to where I drop my rifle, and there's a gunshot, and dust flies up in the air in front of my hands, hands that were reaching for the rifle. And I stop, and I look up, and he's staring right back at me, and I hear her call my name again, and I know she's understanding, understanding that I need to hear her say my name. And that way, I can use hers as a weapon. "Don't try it, Todd," the mayor says, looking down the barrel at me. And I hear his voice in my head, not an attack. The slinky, snaky, twisty version of his voice. The one that's him taking hold of my choices. The one that's him turning them into his. "You won't fight anymore," he says. He takes a step closer. "You won't fight anymore. And that'll be the end of it." I turn away from him, but I have to turn back, have to look into his eyes. "Listen to me, Todd." And his voice is hissing twixt my ears. And it would be so easy just to fall back. Fall back and do what he says. "No," I shout. But my teeth are locked together, and he's still in there, still trying to get me to... And I will. I will.
"You're nothing."
I'm nothing.
"That's right, Todd," the mayor says, stepping forward, rifle bearing down on me. "You are nothing."
I'm nothing.
"But," he says, and his voice is a whisper, scratching across the deepest part of me. "But," he says, "I will make you something." And I look right up into his eyes. Eyes that are an abyss I feel myself falling into. Up and into the blackness. And out of the corner of my eye.
I throw the stone as hard as I can, praying as it leaves my hand that my aim's as good as Lee said. Praying, "Please God, if you're there, please." And wham! It hits the mayor right in the temple.
There's a terrible ripping feeling. Like a strip is being torn right out of my noise, and the abyss is gone. It's turned away, and the mayor lurches to the side, holding his temple, blood already dripping from it.
"Todd!"
Viola shouts, and I look at her arm outstretched where she threw the rock, and I see her. My Viola, and I get to my feet.
He gets to his feet. He stands up tall, and I shout his name again. "Todd!" Because it does something. It does something to him. It does something for him. The mayor's wrong. He's wrong forever and ever. It's not that you should never love something so much it can control you. It's that you need to love something that much so you can never be controlled. It's not a weakness. It's your best strength. "Todd!" I shout again, and he looks at me. And I hear my name in his noise, and I know it. I know it in my heart. Right now, Todd Hewitt, there's nothing we can't do together, and we're gonna win.
The mayor is looking up now, half crouched, blood seeping from twixt his fingers held against the side of his head. He turns to look at me, a scowl on his face, and here comes his noise, and "Viola!" I beat it back. He flinches away, but he tries again. "Viola!" "You can't beat us," I say.
"I can,"
he says, clenching his teeth.
"I will."
"Viola!" He flinches again. He tries to raise the rifle. I hit him extra hard.
"Viola!"
He drops the rifle and staggers back. I can hear his noise buzzing at me, trying to twist its way in. But his head is hurting. From my own attacks. From one well-thrown rock.
"What exactly do you think this proves?" he spits. "You've got power. But you don't know what to do with it."
"Viola!" "Looks like I'm doing just fine," I say. And he smiles, teeth still clenched.
"Are you?"
And I notice my hands are shaking. I notice my noise is flying, sizzling like a bright thing. I can't feel my feet below me.
It takes practice, the mayor says, or you'll blow your mind apart. He stands up a little straighter, trying to lock my eyes again. I could show you. And right on cue, Viola yells, Todd! And I hit him with everything I got. Every bit of her behind me. Every piece of anger and frustration and nothingness. Every moment I didn't see her. Every moment I worried. Everything. Every little tiny thing I know about her. I send it right into the center of him. Viola! And he falls. Back and back and back. His eyes rolling up. His head twisting round. His legs buckling. Falling. 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 Right to the ground. And lying there still.
Todd? I say. He's shaking all over, almost to the point of not being able to stand, and I can hear an unhealthy-sounding whine cutting through his noise. He wobbles a little as he takes a step. Todd? I try to get to my feet, but my ankles...
Jeez,
he says, crumpling down beside me.
That takes it out of you.
He's breathing heavy, his eyes unfocused. Are you all right? I ask, putting a hand on his arm. He nods.
I think so.
We look back at the mayor. You did it, I say.
We did it,
he says, and his noise is getting a little clearer, and he sits up a little straighter. His hands are still shaking, though.
Poor bloody Davy,
he says. I grip his arm. The ship, I say quietly. Mistress Coyle's going to get there first.
Not if I can help it,
he says. He stands up and he swoons for a second, but I hear him call,
Acorn,
with his noise.
Boy Colt,
I hear clearly, and Davy's horse tugs free of where he's tied and walks up over the rubble.
Boy Colt, boy Colt, boy Colt.
Todd! I hear from farther out, and there's more clopping of hooves as Angharad follows Acorn in and stands beside him.
Forward.
She nickers.
Forward.
Acorn nickers.
Absolutely forward,
Todd says to them. He puts an arm under my shoulders to lift me up. Acorn sees in his noise and kneels down so it's easier for me to get up top. When I'm in the saddle, Todd slaps his flank gently and up he stands. Angharad comes close to Todd and starts to kneel too, but...
No, girl,
he says, petting her nose. What? I say, alarmed. What about you? He nods at the mare.
I have to take care of him,
he says, and doesn't meet my eye. What do you mean, take care of him? He looks past me. I turn. The beetle march of the army has reversed its course and stretches to the bottom of the hill now. It'll be marching here next.
Go,
he says.
Get to the ship.
Todd, I say. You can't kill him. He looks at me and his noise is a muddle, and he's still struggling to stay upright.
He deserves it.
He does, but Todd's already nodding.
We are the choices we make.
I nod back. We understand each other. You'd stop being Todd Hewitt, I say. And I ain't losing you again.
I give a little snort when she says, ain't. I'm gonna have to stay with him, you know, I say. You're gonna have to go to the ship as fast as you can. And I'm gonna have to wait for the army to come. She nods, even though there's sadness there. And what'll you do then? I look over at the mayor, still sprawled on the rocks, unconscious and moaning slightly. I feel so heavy. But I say, I reckon they might not be too unhappy to see him beaten. I reckon they just might be on the lookout for a new leader. She smiles. And that'll be you? And if you meet the answer, I say, smiling back, what'll you do then? She brushes her hair out of her eyes.
I reckon they may need a new leader, too. I step forward and I put my hand near hers on Acorn's side. She don't look at my face, just slides her hand till the tips of our fingers are touching. Just 'cause you're going there, and I'm staying here, I say, it don't mean we're parting. No, she says, and I know she understands. No, it certainly doesn't. I ain't parting from you again, I say, still looking at our fingers. Not even in my head. She pushes her hand forward and laces her fingers in mine, and we both look at them wrapped together. I have to go, Todd, she says. I know. I look deep into Acorn's noise, and I show him where the road is, where the ship landed, and how fast, fast, fast he's got to run. Forward, he whinnies loud and clear. Forward, I say. I look back up at Viola. I'm ready, she says. Me too, I say. We'll win, she says. I reckon we just might. One last look. One last look where we know each other, right down to our souls. And I slap Acorn hard on the flanks, and off they go, over the rubble, right down the road, tearing hard toward the people who, I hope, can help us. I look down at the mayor, still lying on the ground. I hear the army marching down the hill, 2 miles away, if that. I look for the rope. I see it, but before I pick it up, I take a second to close Davy's eyes.
We fly down the road, and it's all I can do not to fall off and break my neck. Watch for soldiers, I shout in the space between Acorn's flattened back ears. I have no idea how far into town the answers manage to march. No idea if they'll wait to see who I am before they blow me off the road. No idea what her reaction will be if she sees me. When she sees me. When I tell her and everyone else the things I've got to tell them. Faster if you can, I shout, and there's a jolt like an engine firing and Acorn goes even faster. She'll head for the ship, no doubt about that. She'll have seen it land and gone straight for it. And if she gets there first, she'll tell them how sorry she is that I died so tragically, how I fell so cruelly at the hands of the tyrant the answer are trying to overthrow, how if the scout ship has any weapons that can be used from the air, which it does. I lean down farther in the saddle, biting hard against the pain in my ankles, trying to make us go even faster. We get well past the cathedral, down through the rows of shuttered-up shops and bolted-in houses. The sun is completely down, everything turning to silhouette against the darkening of the sky. And I think about how the answer will respond when they find out the mayor's fallen. And what they'll think when they find out Todd did it. And I think of him. I think of him. I think of him.
Todd.
Acorn thinks. And we race down the road. And I nearly tumble off as a boom rises in the distance. Acorn shudders to a halt, twisting round to keep me on his back. We turn and I look, and I see the fires burning down the road. I see houses on fire, and stores, and grain sheds. And I see people running this way through the smoke, not soldiers, just people, running past us in the dark. Passing us so fast they don't even stop to look at us. They're fleeing from the answer. What is she doing? I say out loud.
Fire,
Acorn thinks, nervously clattering his hooves. She's burning everything, I say. She's burning it all.
Why?
Why? Acorn, I start to say. And a horn blows a deep, long call across the entire valley. Acorn whinnies sharply, no words in his noise, just a flash of fear, of terror so sharp I feel my heart leap, echoed by the disbelieving gasps of some of the people running past me, many of them shouting out and stopping. Looking behind me, back toward the city and beyond. I turn, even though the sky is too dark to see much. There are lights in the distance, lights coming down the zigzag road by the falls. Not the road the army is on. What is it? I say to no one, to anyone. What are those lights? What was that sound? And then a man stopped next to me, his noise bright and circling with amazement, with disbelief, with fright as clear as a knife, whispers,
No.
He whispers,
No, it can't be.
What? I shout. What's happening? And the long, deep horn sounds again across the valley. And it's a sound like the end of the world.
The beginning. The mayor wakes before I even finish tying his hands. He moans, pure, real noise ratcheting from him, the first I've ever heard out of his head, now that he's off guard, now that he's been beaten. Not beaten, he murmurs, temporarily waylaid. Shut up, I say, pulling the ropes tight. I come round the front of him. His eyes are still misty from my attack, but he manages a smile. I smack him across the face with the butt of the rifle. I hear one stitch of noise coming from you, I warn, pointing the barrel at him. I know, says the mayor, a grin still coming from his bloody mouth. And you would, wouldn't you? I don't say nothing, and that's my answer. The mayor sighs, leaning his head back as if to stretch his neck. He looks up into the colored glass window, still standing, impossibly, in a wall all its own. The moons are rising behind it, lighting up their glass versions just a little. Here we are again, Todd, he says. The room where we first properly met. He looks around himself, at how he's the one tied to the chair now, and I'm the one out here. Things change, he says, but they stay the same. I don't need to hear you talking while we wait. Wait for what? He's growing more alert. His noise is disappearing. And you'd like to be able to do that too, wouldn't you? He says. You'd like just for once to have no one know what you're thinking. I said shut up! Right now you're thinking about the army. Shut up! You're wondering if they really will listen to you. You're wondering if Viola's people can really help you. I'll hit you again with the damn rifle. You're wondering if you've really won. I have really won, I say, and you know it. We hear a boom in the distance. Another one. She's destroying everything, the mayor says, looking toward the sound. Interesting. Who is? I ask. You never met Mistress Coyle, did you? He stretches one shoulder and then the other against his binds. Remarkable woman. Remarkable opponent. She might have beaten me, you know. She might really have done it. He smiles wide again. But you've done it first, haven't you? What do you mean she's destroying everything? As always, he says, I mean what I say. Why would she do that? Why would she just blow things up? Twofold, he says. One, she creates chaos so it's harder to fight her as an orderly enemy. And two, she obliterates the safety of those who won't fight, creating the impression that she cannot be beaten, so that everyone's that much easier to rule when she's done. He shrugs. Everything's a war to people like her. People like you, I say. You'll be swapping one tyrant for another, Todd. I'm sorry to be the one to tell you. I won't be swapping nothing. And I told you to be quiet.
I keep the rifle pointed at him and go to Angharad,
watching us both from a cramped space in the rubble.
Todd, she thinks. Thirsty.
Is there a trough still out front? I ask the mayor. Or did it get blown up? It did, the mayor says. But there's one round the back where my own horse is tied. She can go there.
Morpeth. I think to Angharad,
the name of the mayor's horse, and a feeling rises in her.
Morpeth,
she thinks.
Submit.
Atta girl, I say, rubbing her nose. Damn right he'll submit. She pushes me playfully once or twice, then clops off out of the rubble, making her way round the back. There's another boom. I have a little flash of worry for Viola. I wonder how far down the road she's gotten by now. She must be getting near where the answer is. She must be. I hear a little stirring of noise from the mayor. I cock the gun. I said, don't try it. Do you know, Todd? He says, like we're having a nice lunch. The attacking noise was easy.
You just wind yourself up and slam someone with it as hard as you can. I mean, yes, you have to be focused, tremendously focused, but once you've got it, you can pretty much do it at your will. He spits away a little blood pooling on his lip. As we saw with you and your Viola. Don't you say her name! But the other thing, he continues, the control over another's noise, well, I must say, that's a lot trickier, a lot harder. It's like trying to raise and lower 1,000 different levers at once, and sure, on some people, some simple people, it's easier than others, and it's surprisingly easy on crowds. But I've tried for years to get it to work as a useful tool, and it's only recently I've had any level of success at all. I think for a minute. Mayor Ledger. No, no, he says brightly. Mayor Ledger was eager to help. Never trust a politician, Todd. They have no fixed center, so you can never believe them. He came to me, you see, with your dreams and things you said. No. No control there, just ordinary weakness. I sigh. Would you just be quiet already? My point is, Todd, he presses on, that it's only today that I've been able to even come close to forcing you to do what I want you to do. He looks at me, to see if I'm getting it. Only today. Another boom in the distance. Another thing destroyed by the answer for no good reason at all. It's too dark to see the army, but they must be marching into town by now, down the road straight to here. And night is falling. I know what you're saying, I say. I know what I've done. It was all you, Todd. He keeps his eyes on me. The spackle, the women, all your own action. No control needed. I know what I've done, I say again, my voice low, my noise getting a warning sizzle to it. The offer's still open, the mayor says, his voice low too. I'm quite serious. You have power. I could teach you how to use it. You could rule this land by my side. I am the circle, and the circle is me, I hear. That's the source, he says. Control your noise, and you can control yourself. Control yourself, he lowers his chin, and you can control the world. You killed Davy, I say, stepping up to him, gun still pointed. You're the one with no fixed center, and now you're really gonna shut the hell up. And then a low and powerful sound rumbles through the sky like some giant deep horn, a sound God would make when he wanted your attention. I hear whinnies from the horses out back. I hear a filament of shock race through the still hiding noise from the people of New Prentistown. I hear the steady marching of the army's feet collapse into a racket of sudden confusion. I hear the mayor's noise spike and pull back. What the hell was that? I say, looking up and around. No, the mayor breathes. And there's delight in it. What? I say, poking the rifle at him. What's going on? But he's just smiling and turning his head, turning it toward the hill by the falls, by the zigzag road coming down into town. I look there, too. Lights are at the top. Lights are starting to come down the zigzag. Oh, Todd, the mayor says, amazement, and yeah, it's joy coming through his voice. Oh, Todd, my boy, what have you done? What is it? I say, squinting into the dark, as if that'll help me see it clearer. What's making that? A second horn blast comes, so loud it's like the sound of the sky folding in half. I can hear the roar of the town rising. So many asking marks, you could drown in 'em. Tell me, Todd, the mayor says, his voice still bright. What exactly were you planning on doing when the army arrived? What? I say, my forehead furrowing, my eyes still trying to see what's coming down the zigzag road. But it's too far and too dark to tell. Just lights, individual points of 'em moving down the hill. Were you going to offer me up for ransom? He goes on, still sounding cheerful. Were you going to give me to them for execution? What were those blasts? I say, grabbing him by the shirt front. Is that the settlers landing? Are they invading or something? He just looks into my eyes, his own sparkling. Did you think they'd elect you leader, and you'd single-handedly usher in a new era of peace?
I'll lead them, I hiss into his face. You watch me!
I let him go and climb up one of the higher piles of rubble. I see people poking their heads out of their houses now, hear voices calling to one another, see people start running to and fro. Whatever it is, it's enough to get the people of New Prentistown out of hiding. I feel a buzz of noise at the back of my head. I whip around, pointing the gun at him again, climbing back down the rubble and saying, I told you none of that! I was just trying to keep our conversation going, Todd, he says, false innocence everywhere. I'm very curious to know your plan for leadership now that you'll be the head of the army and president of the planet. I want to punch the smile off his face.
What's going on? I shout at him. What's coming down that hill?
There's a third blast of the horn sound, even louder this time, so loud you can feel it humming through your body. And now people in town are really starting to scream. Reach in my front shirt pocket, Todd, the mayor says. I think you'll find something that once belonged to you. I stare at him, searching him for a trick, but all that's there is that stupid grin. Like he's winning again. I push the rifle at him and use my free hand to dig in his pocket, my fingers hitting something metal and compact. I pull it out. Vile as Binox. Really remarkable little things, the mayor says. I do so look forward to the rest of the settlers landing, seeing what new treats they bring us. I don't say nothing to him, just climb back up the rubble and hold the Binox to my eyes with my free hand, clumsily trying to get the night vision to work. It's been a long time since I get the right button. Up pops the valley in shades of green and white, cutting through the dark to show me the town. I raise them up the road, up the river, to the zigzag on the hill, and the points of light coming down it, and oh my God. I hear the mayor laugh behind me, still tied to his chair. Oh yes, Todd, you're not imagining it. I can't say nothing for a second. There ain't no words. How? How can this be possible? An army of Spackle is marching for the town. Some of them, the ones near the front, are riding on the backs of these huge, wide creatures covered in what looks like armor, and there's a single curving horn coming out of the end of their noses. Behind them are troops, 'cause this ain't a friendly march, no siree. It ain't nothing like that at all. There are troops marching down the zigzag road, troops marching over the lip of the hill at the top of the falls, troops that are coming for battle. And there are thousands of them. But, I say, gasping, hardly able to get the words out. But they were all killed. They were all killed during the Spackle War. All of them, Todd? The mayor asks. Every single one of them on this whole planet, when all we live on is one little strip? Does that make sense to you? The lights I've been seeing are torches carried by the Spackle riding on the creatures' backs, burning torches to lead the army, burning torches that light up the spears that the troops carry, the bows and arrows, the clubs, all of them carrying weapons. Oh, we beat them, says the mayor. Killed them in their thousands, certainly, everyone within miles of here. Though they outnumbered us by a considerable margin, we had better weapons, stronger motivation. We drove them out of this land on the understanding that they would never return, never get in our way ever again. We kept some of them as slaves, of course, to rebuild our city after that war. It was only fair. The town is really roaring now. The marching of the army has stopped, and I can hear people running about and screaming to each other, stuff that don't make no sense, stuff of disbelief, stuff of fear. I run back down the rubble to him, pushing the gun hard into his ribs. Why did they come back? Why now? And still he grins. I expect they've had time to work on how they might get rid of us once and for all, don't you? All these years. I expect they were only looking for a reason. What reason? I shout at him. Why? And I stop. The genocide. The death of every slave. Their bodies piled up like so much rubbish. Quite right, Todd, he says, nodding like we're talking about the weather. I suspect that must certainly be it, don't you?
I looked down at him, understanding coming too late like always.
You did it, I say.
Of course you did it. You killed every spackle, every single one. Made it look like it was the answer.
I pushed the rifle into his chest.
You were hoping they'd come back.
He shrugs. I was hoping I'd have the chance to beat them once and for all, yes. He purses his lips. But it's you I have to thank for speeding the plan along.
Me?
I say. Oh, yes, definitely you, Todd. I set the stage, but you sent them the messenger.
The messenger?
No. No. I turn and run up the rubble again, binocs back on, looking and looking and looking. There's too many. They're too far away. But he's there, ain't he? Somewhere in that crowd. 1017.
Oh, no.
I should say, oh, no is right, Todd, the mayor calls up to me. I left him alive for you to find. But even with your special relationship, he wasn't very fond of you, was he? No matter how much you tried to help him, you're the face of his torturers. The face he took back to his brothers and sisters. I hear a low laugh.
I really wouldn't want to be you right now, Todd Hewitt.
I spin round, looking at the horizon on all sides. I spin round again. There's an army to the south, one to the east, and now one marching down from the west.
And here we sit, says the mayor, still sounding calm, right in the middle of it all.
He scratches his nose on his shoulder. I wonder what those poor people on the scout ship must be thinking.
No.
No. I spin round once more, as if I could see them all coming, coming for me. My mind is racing. What do I do? What do I do? The mayor starts whistling, as if he had all the time in the world. And Viola's out there. Oh, Jesus, she's out there, innit? The army, I say. The army's gonna have to fight them.
In their spare time, the mayor says, raising his eyebrows.
When they've got a few free minutes from fighting the answer?
The answer will have to join us.
Us, says the mayor.
They'll have to fight alongside the army. They'll have to.
You really think that's how Mistress Coyle is going to play it?
He's smiling, but I can see his legs starting to bounce up and down now, energy coursing through him.
She'll see herself and them as having a common enemy now, won't she? You mark my words. She'll try to negotiate.
He catches my eye again.
And where will that leave you, Todd?
I'm breathing heavy. I don't got no answer.
And Viola's out there, he reminds me, all on her own.
She is.
She is out there. And she can't even walk.
Oh, Viola, what have I done?
And under these circumstances, my dear boy, do you really think the army is going to want you as a leader?
He laughs, as if it was always the dumbest idea anywhere.
Do you think they'll trust you to lead them into battle?
I spin round again with the binocs. New Prentice Town in chaos, buildings burned to the east, people run through the streets, running away from the answer, running away from the mayor's army, and now running away from the spackle, running all directions with nowhere to go. The horn blasts again, shaking glass out of some of the windows. I spy it in the binocs, a great long trumpet, longer than four spackle put together, carried on the backs of two of the horned creatures, being blown by the biggest spackle I've ever seen. And they've reached the bottom of the hill.
I think it's time you untied me, Todd, the mayor says, his voice a low buzz in the air.
I spin around to him, aiming the gun one more time.
You won't control me, I say. Not no more.
I'm not trying to, he says. But I think we both know it's a good idea, don't you?
I hesitate, breathing heavy.
I've beaten the spackle before, you see, he says. The town knows it. The army knows it. I don't think they'll be quite so eager to discard me and unite behind you now that they know what we're up against.
I still don't say nothing. And after all this betrayal from you, Todd, he says, looking right up at me, I still want you by my side. I still want you fighting next to me.
He pauses. We can win this together.
I don't want to win this with you, I say, looking down the barrel. I beat you! He nods, as if in agreement, but then he says one more time. Things change, but they stay the same. I hear marching feet getting closer to the church. A troop from the army's finally pulled itself together enough to come into town. I can hear them heading down a side road toward the square. There ain't much time. I don't even mind that you tied me up, Todd, the mayor says. But you have to let me go. I'm the only one who can beat them.
Viola. Viola, what do I do?
Yes, Viola, again, he says, his voice slinky and warm.
Viola out there among them, all by herself.
He waits till I'm looking him in the eye. They'll kill her, Todd. They will. And you know I'm the only one who can save her. The horn blasts again. There's another boom to the east. The feet of the mayor's soldiers getting closer. I look at him.
I beat you, I say. You remember that. I beat you, and I'll do it again.
I have no doubt you will, he says, but he's smiling.
Viola!
I think right at him, and he flinches.
You save her, I say, and you live.
She dies, you die. He nods.
Agreed.
You try to control me, I shoot you. You try to attack me, I shoot you. Got it?
I've got it, he says.
I wait a second more, but there ain't no more seconds. There ain't no more time to decide nothing. Only that the world's marching to meet up right here, right now. And she's out there. And I ain't never parting from her again, not even when we're not together.
Forgive me, I think.
And I go behind the mayor and untie the rope. He stands up slowly, rubbing his wrists. He looks up at another blast of the horn. At last, he says. No more of this slinking secret fight. No more running after shadows and all this undercover cloak and dagger nonsense. He turns to me, catches my eye, and I see behind his smile the real glint of madness. Finally, we come to the real thing. The thing that makes men, men. The thing we were born for, Todd. He rubs his hands together, and his eyes flash as he says the word. War. End of book two.
We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of The Ask and the Answer by Patrick Ness. Copyright 2009 by Patrick Ness. Original book published by Candlewick Press. Performed by Angela Daw and Nick Podell. Directed by Laura Grafton. Engineered by Matt DeCoster. Performance copyright 2010 by Brilliance Audio. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Candlewick on Brilliance Audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.